Welcome to Mammon Audio. Not surprisingly, kids will do pretty much anything to get out of a spanking, going to the most ingenious lengths on occasion, as Brian recalls. He writes, "One of the more notable things about my childhood was that my best friend Mark and I shared the same surname. It wasn't that remarkable, I guess, as it was a fairly common one, Roberts, but it did get us in big trouble one time in year 4 of primary school in England, when we were both 8. Mark and I usually sat on a double desk together, and he fancied himself as something of a class clown. I can't remember what exactly as said now, but one morning he pushed the boundaries of our teacher, Miss Litherland, and answered back to her reprimand. A flush of anger passed over her face and she said, 'Well, Mark, I think you'd better see Mrs. Williams for the slipper at lunchtime.' Mrs. Williams was the head teacher and had only been at the school for a couple of weeks. I gathered later in life that there had been some shenanigans with money concerning her predecessor, who had been forced to resign in short order. Mark was really upset at this escalation. We grew up in the 60s, when a well-smacked bottom was the standard punishment for naughty children, but Mark very rarely got a trip across his mum's knee, and neither of us had experienced CP in school. I, on the other hand, was more blasé about the whole affair. I was smacked more regularly by my father, and although it stung, I only really cried when I got done because I knew I was supposed to. It was at this point, shortly after lunch break started and Mark facing his appointment with Doom, that I had my bright idea. Mark was, as I say, rather more indulged and got loads of sweets and pocket money. I told him, 'I'll take your whacking for you, we're both called Roberts, the old cow'll never know. But I want a quarter of sweets off you for doing it.' At that point, I think Mark would have done anything to get out of a slippering and readily agreed with the plan, which was really more like something out of a comic than anything really feasible. He disappeared for a bit, while I strode manfully towards the headmistress's office. I knocked on the door. 'Come in. Roberts, Mrs. Williams.' 'Ah yes, Mark, come in, I've been expecting you. I have a note here from Miss Litherland.' She went through the charge sheet. 'Have you anything to say?' 'I'm very sorry, was about the best I could do.' 'Yes, I expect you will be in a moment,' Mrs. Williams replied wryly. She took the punishment book out of her drawer and I watched, dry mouthed, as she wrote the word 6 on seat in it. In front of her desk was a chair, in which I had not been invited to sit, I might say, and she now drew this out to face the office door. Finally, she went over to a cupboard in the corner and extracted the slipper, to be exact, a black canvas gym plimsoll with a rubber sole. It wasn't huge, I think it was a child's size, but still was more than big enough for primary school size bottoms. The head sat down on the chair, laid the slipper on her lap, then rolled up the right sleeve of her blouse, revealing quite a muscular arm. I found out subsequently that Mrs. Williams was a keen tennis player. Then she said, 'Come here to me, Mark.' I obeyed and to my utmost horror, she immediately unbuttoned my shorts and slid them down to my ankles, quickly followed by my underpants. I blushed to my boots. It was rare for even my mum or dad to give it on the bare bottom, let alone a middle-aged stranger. 'Lie over my knee.' I obeyed readily to stop her looking at my genitals, and she shifted me around a little with her strong hands, presumably wanting to get my bottom right on top of her lap to present the perfect target. I felt her left hand push down on the small of my back, then whack. The first stroke landed right across both my buttocks. It stung a lot worse than my dad's slipper. Whack. A second stroke followed quickly, low on my left buttock and really burning. I had wanted to be brave but couldn't help but cry. I just kept thinking of the sweets I had been promised for this act of selflessness. The four strokes which followed were a bit of a blur, but by the time Mrs. Williams had finished, my seat was absolutely on fire. I lay there crying for a few minutes, then she rubbed my bare bottom in a friendly sort of way and said, 'Shush now, all over.' While I was still face down, I felt her hands begin to pull up my underpants, then suddenly there was an ominous silence. I felt her hand against my bum again as she turned back the waistband of my pants. 'Would you care to explain why the name tag in your underpants says, Simon Roberts, young man?' I inwardly cursed my mother's efficiency in labeling all my school clothes. I suppose if I had been smart and on the ball, I could have said that they were hand-me-downs from my older brother, but on top of the smacking I'd already had, it felt like the wind had been well and truly taken out of my sails. I crumpled and confessed the whole sorry saga.
I see, Mrs. Williams said at last. Well, you two boys thought you could make a fool of me, did you? I think you need to be disabused of that notion with immediate effect.
Stay there, hands on your head.
No, you may not pull your shorts and pants up.
She went to an intercom device on her desk which went through to the school secretary next door.
Ellen, will you go and find Mark Roberts and bring him here to me at once, please?
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
Click.
The line went dead again and the head looked at me with fury in her eyes.
You don't know how much trouble you are in, little boy.
Actually, I think I had a good idea by then.
It wasn't long before Ellen Curry, the secretary, more or less shoved Mark through the open door and closed it behind him, though not before she had taken a good look at me standing there with my pants down, a very red bum and small, boyish willy on full show. Unlike the more customary matronly examples of school secretaries, Miss Curry was barely out of her teens, and I can guess that her entire circle soon heard the story about how not one but two naughty little boys had been to the headmistress for a sore bottom that afternoon.
Mark was white as a sheet, clearly aware that the game was up. He clearly could barely speak, and for a minute his gaze just kept switching between me and my war wounds and Mrs. Williams, who still held the slipper in her right hand. Finally, it was the head who broke the silence.
Well, Mark, you thought you could escape punishment, did you, with you and your friend's silly little game?
Of course, there was no answer to that, and Mark wasn't foolish enough to attempt one. He just gazed at his shoes as if seeking guidance there.
Mrs. Williams spun me around so my well-slippered bum was facing my friend.
It appears I had the wrong bottom here earlier, but you can both be assured that there will be no further mistakes this afternoon.
Simon, you may watch while Mark receives what is due to him.
She sat down on the chair again and quickly bared Mark's bottom for him. He put up no resistance as he was guided over Mrs. Williams' knee and he was given 6 strokes in short order. I don't know whether Mark's bum was more sensitive than mine, but it seemed to be a much deeper red once the punishment had been applied. Mark took the whacking bravely, and apart from a couple of little short sobs, he didn't really cry. He was led up and also ordered to put his hands on his head, although I suspect that, like me, he desperately wanted to rub his stinging bum. Mrs. Williams then read us a thorough lecture about honesty, and about taking our punishments like a man when we earned them. Any moment we expected the scolding to be over and pull up our pants to be modest again. But then it came. This is a most serious offense. I very rarely use the cane, but you boys are going to get 3 strokes each to make sure you never try anything as stupid as this again. That announcement finally did make Mark cry. I, on the other hand, felt like this was all a bad dream and was barely functioning by this time. Mrs. Williams went back to the cupboard, put the slipper away, and came back with the cane in her hand. It was only a modest junior model, I guess, about 3 feet long with the customary curved handle, but it was extremely flexible and looked like it would really hurt. We were about to find out that it did.
Mrs. Williams ordered Mark to bend over the chair with his hands on the seat. I watched as he obeyed, his already sore bottom making the perfect target as he assumed the position. 3 strokes were administered with clinical precision, and Mark was howling by the end of them.
Pants up, was Mrs. Williams' only comment. Mark hastily put his clothes back in place.
Mrs. Williams tapped the seat of the chair with the cane.
Simon, you know what to do.
Still in this dreamlike state, I bent over to take my 2nd punishment of the day. The cane strokes were like 3 lightning bolts to my backside, the sting was on a different scale to the slipper, and I too cried unashamedly.
After I had pulled my own pants and shorts back up, Mrs. Williams handed us both a tissue, and we dried the tears and snot from our faces as she finished filling out the punishment book.
Then she said, "You may return to class. Your parents will be informed of this shortly, so I don't expect you're out of the woods yet, boys."
We trudged miserably back to class.
Miss Litherland looked grimly satisfied, having been informed by Miss Curry about what had happened, and she lost no time in telling the rest of her class what had happened to us. Everyone knew we had been slippered and caned, and our disgrace was complete. Or, rather, not quite. When I got home that afternoon, I found that the school had phoned my mum up and she sent me directly to my room to await my father's return from work.
When he did, I was laid face down on my bed, once again with my pants down, and Mum held me while Dad liberally applied the belt to my already excruciatingly sore arse. Mark got another dose of the slipper on his bare bottom, this time from his Mum, for his trouble. The whole episode was such a disgrace and humiliation for us both that we rarely spoke of it, even when we were older, and I never had the heart to demand those sweets.